Hi, welcome to another Lorenzo's Music Podcast. On the show today, I am talking with an artist who is in Paris, France. It's an artist that I actually met through email and through the Creative Commons community. This artist, they create electronic music and a lot of it. And they were running through the same sort of problem that we were having with releasing our music under Creative Commons, which was people were taking the music that we were allowing people to build upon, remix, reuse, and claiming it for their own, and then trying to take down the people that were actually using our music in things and saying that they own the rights to it, that they had to be paid for it. And it's difficult to actually fight against that as just an independent musician. You don't know who to contact. It takes a lot of time to just find how to get a hold of someone who will listen to you in the first place to talk about it. So, but the whole conversation's not about that. That's just how we met. This person creates so much music. It's been used in video games, podcasts, radio shows, and they just released music of their own on a net label of their own music they created. A net label they created because the person releases under several different names. Several different, depending on the style of music they want to do. And it's a great conversation. I've always wanted to actually just speak with the person, not just over email. So we took this opportunity to actually have a conversation about making music, being independent musicians, and a little bit about some of the great sites that we used to use and still kind of use, but in their heyday, Jamendo and Free Music Archive were the place to go for independent music. And they still are, but they're different. So we talk about that on the show. And here is the interview starting right now.
I'm Rose. I'm composing music for like, I guess, 13 years. For my own pleasure, for video games, podcasts, and movies. And I'm releasing everything under Creative Commons Zero License, and mostly on the Free Music Archive and on Bandcamp.
And for people listening, where are you located right now?
I'm located in Paris, France.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah. Pardon my French.
Oh, come on. You've been waiting to use that one, haven't you?
Oh, I use it every time I have to speak in English, you know.
That's, oh, I wish I had that joke locked and ready to go. Oh, you're so lucky.
Yeah, sorry. So bad this.
So how did you get started as a musician? You said you've been doing it for like 13 years. I mean, did you just one day go, you know what, I'm going to start releasing music online? Or like, how did this all begin?
Actually, I was like playing music in the end of my high school years. And after that, I was like not doing any studies. I was just playing music with friends. And at some point, I was like unemployed and unable to find to work everywhere because like I was like deep in, I think, form of depression. I was just playing music every day, and mostly guitar. And at some point, I like get some record stuff, like a sound card, and just try to record something. It was like the first album. And at some point, I find a website called Jamendo, where I like find a little French community, French-speaking community, and it was like really nice to hang around. So I was like, okay, I will upload my music in this website, and maybe some people will find it and like it. And there is like not a lot of traffic, but yeah, it was nice to have like feedbacks from other composers. But I think like few months ago, the website collapsed. Like weirdly, the all the forums were deleted, and so all the community went back in Facebook. And
on Jamendo,
yeah, on Jamendo. I think it was like on 2010, maybe.
Oh, okay. And, all right. I thought you were saying just recently, and I'm like,
No, it was on 2010. And it was like, all the forum like shut down at some point.
Yeah.
All the discussion boards. And we, the French community, we went back on Facebook. And it was like, how can we do? Where can we go? Because like we had like another website called Dogmatic, which is like a French website hosting free music. And
doing it for a very long time. Like I'm always amazed how long that I forget the person's name. I've actually spoken with the person.
Isaac, maybe?
Yes.
And it was like shut down for like a long time. And when like all the discussion board in Jamendo shut down, it wasn't up. So we were like navigating. We don't know where. So I found Bandcamp and I put my music there and I asked for Free Music Archive to upload my music. Mm-hmm. But I didn't receive like an answer, so my music wasn't up in the website. So I was like, okay, creating music on Bandcamp. And at some point, I did like an album for some friends on a website we like to write on, and it was like the first album I put in public domain license. Mm-hmm. And it was nice. I wanted like everyone to be able to use it how they wanted. And at that moment, I was accepted on Free Music Archive, and it was Cheyenne.
Cheyenne Holman.
Doing like the admin of the website, and she asked me like what license I wanted to put on all the music I wanted. I had, and was like, okay, public domain. And it was like a nice thing to do, because like with public domain license, you appear every time when you are like searching for music, because like this is like the freest license. So you can put like everything you want as in the search engine, and it will always appear. So it was like a way for me to like just give my music freely, because I like the idea of that, but also it was doing my own communication.
What type of music were you doing when you first started out? Was it still along the lines of what you produce now?
I think because like I was really into rock music. With like really guitar driven music, and I was like doing a lot of guitar solo also, because I didn't wanted to use my voice. I didn't as like other instruments, and I wasn't playing like saxophone as I'm doing right now. And it was like mostly guitar driven music, but still experimenting some stuff. Like the first album is like a mix of post-rock, folk, funk, experimental, drone, and progressive rock. So it's just a mess of everything. There is like a bit of rap, a cringy one.
Okay.
And it was like, I think it was like something I still do. But now I wanted to not play guitar. Like I played less guitar for like 3 years to avoid doing guitar solo, because I felt like it was like an easy way to just fill up some gap in my music, and it was not really good. So I wanted to just do more feedback loops with my guitar and less guitar solo.
So, God, there's so many things I want to ask about. The funny thing is you got to experience the great history of what the Creative Commons community was back then. Like, so Jamendo, when you were uploading there, you were uploading it because it was a music site located around where you are. It was a way for, you know, independent artists to upload their stuff. But at the same time, it was people uploading it under Creative Commons license and things like that, so people could use it because of GEMA laws. And we were uploading there too, and it was great. I loved it. And then that thing that you're talking about is, because I spoke with, and again, it was so long ago, I'm going to forget the person's name, but the person I spoke to was one of the heads at Jamendo. And during that time, the company was being sold to someone else, to another company. And then it became, they leaned more towards the radio distribution, which is like, you know, people could just rent out the library to play inside of, like we were getting notifications yeah. that we were being played at like a Subway sandwich shop in, you know, yeah. Denmark or something yeah. like that, which was cool. But then the problem was, is after that, they got really finicky with what they accepted. And then, yeah, their communication was gone. And before it was like you could communicate with people and they'd be like, this is great. Now they have a new forum and it's not as good. It's harder to find music on there. There's even when you search for music, it just puts its own library up first of like it's yeah. sort of stock music. I've seriously been trying to go there the past few months to just try and find different artists in other countries. And all I'm getting is all this background music.
Yeah. actually, like it's really weird, but, Jamendo, like, just after the 2010 years mm-hmm. Got really into a capitalist way of gathering music, presenting music on their website.
Which is ironic from what they started out to do.
Yes, and that's really stupid. Like in the French community, I don't know how it was like in the English-speaking community, but in the French community, we were like really, really against this way of doing. We were like a lot of communists in the, in the mm-hmm. discussion boards, and we wanted like the website to still be like it was, like it was more album website, not towards singles. And at some point, Jamendo like wanted to promote singles and just songs and not like a whole album. So to maybe...
I mean, that's kind of the way the music industry went altogether, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And yeah, and mostly in like the stock music, it was like, I think they wanted to go like Shutterstock music or Pond 5, which are more like really focused in single tracks with like a lot of tags to set the mood and stuff and so on.
Well, not even, because you used to be able to put tons of tags when you uploaded music and now you can only put up like 3 and they tell you what choices you can use, you know, and that's kind of frustrating as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think like Jamendo went like in this capitalist way and it become like a generic website with stock music, but like with a little bit of licensing and okay-ish. I think we were not like a lot using the licensing stuff in the French community. I wasn't a part of it. I felt like it was not really nice and... I didn't want my music to be played in Subway in Denmark, you know.
Hey, yeah,
I don't want a brand or I mean they do whatever they want, but I'm not like doing it actively. Like this is not my way of like using my music. I don't want to capitalize on this part of this aspect of the use of my music, and I was like not really in fond of this way of using free music licensing. I don't know. So after that, I went sometime on Jamendo to try to listen to new stuff, not to upload it. It was just like to be by like curiosity. And I found out like the website to be really, really hard to use. And
And it doesn't load really, half the time or it gets stuck it looks nice, I suppose, but
yes, not my vibe, but you know,
it's definitely more corporate-y. And then after that, so you were talking about the Free Music Archive, which we lucked out because I found our music was uploaded there by someone else, by the Bloxonic Net label. And I had no idea what Free Music Archive was. And I just was getting traffic from it on our website. And I'm like, what's this? And someone had uploaded it. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. You used it. And I was like, can we upload more here? How's this work? And at that time, Free Music Archive, it was a curator-run community run by a radio station in WFMU in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So that was the real cool thing about that site, but also the really difficult thing about that site is the music was kind of curated by real music nerds, you know, like people that liked all kinds, which made it better. But if you wanted to upload stuff, it was, you couldn't just do it. You couldn't just upload whatever you wanted, which Cheyenne was actually the last curator or head of the Free Music Archive before they sold it off. But yeah, so we lucked out because Mike from Block Sonic was like, oh, I can give you access so you can upload the rest of your stuff. And I was like, oh, so I was able to upload whatever I wanted right away when I found
it. Yeah.
So that was cool. But but yeah, it, when they sold it off and it almost died and it was brought back to life by Tribe of Noise, but it's definitely the same model as Jamendo for sure.
But
more bands still upload on it. I do find more bands on it, but yeah, it's again going to, they've got the corporate rock you can buy licensing type thing still
but like Free Music Archive is still I think is still the best website for listening to music.
Yeah, because it's still got all the old music stuff that was there. Like, it didn't get rid of anything. Yeah.
Yes, they didn't get rid of anything, but also they have the best search engine. And
they do.
It was better when it was like before not Tribe of Noise, but the...
WFMU.
No. What was that brand of like a photograph like... who bought Free Music Archive before before Tribe of Noise.
Oh, that's right. The company that was just buying it for the domain name.
Yes.
They weren't gonna continue on. They just wanted the search engine domain.
Yes.
They were doing it for, what was it? Specifically for film, for independent film.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of that? That's a good question.
Kid Split.
There you go.
Kid Split.
Yeah. And then they learned right away from the amount of hate mail that they got and the fact that it was just going to cost too much. Like, it was an impulse buy. It's what it turned out to be.
Yeah, I think. But it was like, I'm a bit sad because like I found Free Music Archive and had access to it like for the last 2 years of Free Music Archive, and I was like finding at some point a place where there was like people like you, me, and Cheyenne and Lisberg and other like creative people coming together and like doing this kind of music challenges with like Systemicter and other album, community album, like doing like this weird recipe album to cook music, to cook stuff with the music. It was like so fun to do.
Yeah.
And I found like a real gathering of people like with the same philosophy, trying to do the same kind of stuff. Me, I was like in a big, massive productivity period. I was like, I think during the first year I was in Free Music Archive, I uploaded like 60 albums. I was like really, really into productivity. Yeah. It was like a massive year for me. And I was unemployed and I had like just the time to do this. And that was like... something to galvanize yourself. It was the first time I was broadcasted on actual radio, like on the WFMU in the Lisberg show. It was really fun, like to find this show every week and listen to it and find new music on the Free Music Archive. There was like actual curation and people like looking deep dive in Free Music Archive and finding out like there is like so many good music, like really inspiring experimental music, but like wacky music. And it was so good to find something like this. And so, Free Music Archive was for me like the best place. And I found out like there was like some stuff that wasn't really good. Like the charts were like broken. It was always the same music. putting like the top 10 of free music archives was always the same. It was like always like Broke Owl or stuff like this. Like, I don't know.
Was a Soldier Boy cover or something like that was up there for, I swear, 6 months. But right before, but I got lucky in this too. Right before they sold and got rid of the site, one of the last songs that we posted up on the old version of the site was in that top 10. That got us tons of plays.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah. The other thing, and here's actually this is like a two-part question. The other thing was that Free Music Archive had the best music genre search. Like, you would just search for rock, and then it would go, okay, here's rock, but here's like 20 different tags of subcategories. Love that. That was fantastic. Now, one, you mentioned a bunch of genres of music that you put out. You said you've had like 60 albums. Now, here's something that I've been struggling with, and I feel like people that make more independent music have more choices of what genre they can say. But when you're like a four-piece rock band like us, but you do weird rock music, we have like indie, alternative, the end. You know, like, I'm trying to find like a good way to, like, there's no good subgenre for what I do. So how do you go about finding these subgenres of what you do, or the different names you get to choose from? I just feel like a lot more independent musicians or solo musicians have so many genres to choose from. So what do you call yours?
It depends on the project. Every like nicknames I use are like for a new way of creating music.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, just to bounce on the Free Music Archive website, it was like a good search engine, but not a good it was not good to auto-determinate yourself, self-determinate yourself. Like, you are like stuck in like alternative rock, indie rock for your band.
Yeah.
But like in Bandcamp, actually, you can use all the tag you want, and you can self-determinate your own music.
Yeah.
And try to fit in new stuff. Like, you can create your own tag, you can create like or join another tag and kind of mix with everything. And I found it like super useful and super cool, like, to study how music is shaped by self-determination. I think this is like super cool, and Bandcamp has this, and this is so great. But for me, it will depend on the on the ID and the nickname. Actually, I find a new nickname when I have like a new concept of music genre. Like, I had like Dance Floor is Lava when I wanted to create like disco noise music.
Yeah,
I had like Anonymous 420 when I wanted to remix corporate music, and also capitalist and utilitarian music you can find on Pond5 or Shutterstock Music, and like remix it so you can like listen to it as a music and not as an utilitarian music. Like, you won't remix it for like a video, corporate video, some stuff like that.
Right.
I think like Soft and Furious is like more synth music, but also vaporwave, but also, I don't know, like, it's like fluid, like my gender. And now actually I'm doing like bumping car music.
Doing what?
Hardcore one. What? You know, like, you know, like this like attraction in like you have like, you have cars bumping.
Okay, so
each
you
other.
Did say what I thought. You're saying bumper car. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, bumper car. Yeah.
Okay, it's how like is the music how, I'm doing. How is that? What is bumper car music? I don't know how to ask this question.
It's like it's like Eurobeat, but hyper, like really hyper.
Okay.
Yeah, and like with a lot of noise, and like with like feedback guitar, and just and like you are on a massive sugar rush, and this is what you are like actually experiencing.
All right. That definitely is making up your own genre, or did it already exist? Yeah.
I don't know. I heard Eurobeat already exists, but bumper car music, I'm not quite sure. Actually, I will check that.
All right. Well, while you're checking that, here's another thing I want to ask you. So what is the process when you're making a song? I know that you've already touched on this. You've got several different names, which makes it brilliant that you released everything under Loyalty Freak Music, so that even though it's you, you can switch projects, but it makes sense that you can still find it under the same thing. Whereas if you would have chosen a name and going, oh, now I've chosen another name, so then you got to create another website and a separate thing. At least you did like more of the music label sort of format, which was very smart. I think that's great. Because when you first contacted me, I really did think that you were like putting up music for several people. And then I read more and I was like, oh, that's you.
Yeah.
But what is your process when you start making a song? Like, how do you go about recording and writing it and stuff? Like,
Most of the time it's because like I'm really bored. And mostly it's like I'm thinking about something in like when I'm traveling, but like traveling like to go to my day job or going like to see a friend somewhere in Paris.
Yeah.
And I don't have music and I'm just like pam 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 pam.
Okay.
So yeah, like I'm recording something, or just like if I'm going back at home, I'm trying to think about it, and I just launch a computer and try to do something with like MIDI files.
Yeah. So you do work also in MIDI files a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, okay. Yeah, but I'm not using like a keyboard. I'm just like clicking.
Oh, you're actually doing the writing of the MIDI on the track. What?
With
software?
With mouse. Yes.
What software are you
Reaper,
using?
Cocos Reaper.
I don't know that one.
Reaper.
You don't know Reaper. Reaper. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't hear it correctly. Okay, that's my fault.
Yeah, no problem. I'm using Reaper like since the might be like the beginning of what I'm composing. I'm using Reaper.
Okay.
And yeah.
Okay. So, but you're putting out that much stuff and you're clicking on it and writing it all. Well, I'm saying it like it's, I mean, writing music in general is work. So I don't understand why I'm thinking like, oh, that's way harder. No, it's not.
No, it's not. Like, it's just like a way of doing it. Like, if you are used to use a keyboard, you can do this with a keyboard. But actually, I'm not a pianist. I don't know how to use a keyboard. Mm. And I'm used to use a guitar. And so I work with that. And I see a piano roll. I know how to use a piano roll. And just I work with that. But okay. I began music with improvisation. So it's easy for me like to just grab a guitar and play the guitar and just like this, and it's fun. And I tried like classical guitar, folk guitar, electric guitar, and I'm really into experimental music and game design. So I've like built board games and card games to create soundscapes and sound spaces and for yourself or with other people and with like rules and stuff. So I don't have like blank pages with music, because like most of the time when I like just I don't have ideas, I think like putting all your music in public domain and doing like massively, you have like feedbacks from people telling you, oh, I've used this music, mm-hmm. and personally, deeply inside you, you think that those music are really bad and like it's just like shit. But you know this is not the truth. The truth is not yours. Like, people are using your music and enjoying it, so maybe you are wrong for yourself. So I'm like, okay, maybe this is like a shitty idea what I'm doing. But actually, I'm going to embrace it, because even though I don't like it, maybe someone will like it. Mm-hmm. And fuck it.
And also the thing that people do as well is when your music gets used in a game, and this has happened to us with ones I didn't know it was being used, but people will come to, they'll go search for it on YouTube and they'll just type in like, I heard this in Nanix or stuff like that. And when that first started happening, I'm like, what the hell are these people saying? Because it didn't make sense. I heard this in Nanix, and I'm like, is that a city?
What is an annex?
Yeah, and it turns out it's some Russian mobile game company that has been using our stuff in like tons of their different games. I downloaded one, and I recorded a video of me go. It was like a Grand Theft Auto sort of ish game. It was called Miami Crime Simulator. So I have a video of me going through it, like stealing cars, trying to find the radio that's playing our song. It took me like 20 minutes. But it was cool. Nice. You know, that was enjoyable. With the stuff that you've been releasing along those lines, I heard a podcast you were on because there's a CBC radio show that or podcast that uses your music. And you did an interview on there.
Oh, was it like Ephemeral Radio?
I think so. All I know is that it was like a Canadian radio thing. I can't remember off the top of my head. I just remember listening, and I was like, oh, cool.
Oh, that's sweet.
I was like, that's actually what made me reach out to you again. I was like, wait, that's that person that I talked to in an email that one time. So that was really neat. Tell me about that getting used on there. Like, is that just something you found out about? Did they contact you? Like, how did it get used for that project?
On Ephemeral, you want? I think like Alexander was like doing this podcast, and he was like using a lot of music I've done, and at some point he was like, okay, that person like produced a lot with like a lot of aliases. It seems like nice. And he just reached out, and like we are like hanging like this how we are doing right now. And I was like, okay, I want to do a podcast on what you do. And he was like, okay, go for it. It's nice. I love to talk about myself. I'm really egocentric, so let's go.
It's a subject you know a lot about.
Yeah, actually.
So what games do you also make? I mean, you're making music specifically for games, or it just gets used in games? Like, what's how do you get both your music in games? Both. Okay.
Yeah, actually most of the time it was like by Free Music Archive. I know that because I don't have like a lot of album. I have a lot of album on Free Music Archive, but I don't have the totality on it. And there is like a choice with that. And I contacted you about this problem. Mm-hmm. And it was like identity usurpation and people like stealing music and using Content ID over the music. And it's mostly on Free Music Archive. This is the website which is targeted by those usage of the music. But so at first it was like people using my music on the Free Music Archive, on video games, and sometimes I receive like a notification, or I see people like you, like, oh yeah, I've listened to this music in that video game.
Yep.
That's so nice. I was like, oh, does this exist? Okay, nice. Mm-hmm. So at some point, some people using my music were like, okay, I can hire you maybe because like I like what you do and I have like a bit of money. So do you want to create the soundtrack of my game? And
So they did actually reach out to you to do more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, the biggest opportunity I had was with Nikki Casey. For a game called Adventure with Anxiety, which is like a game created and put in Creative Commons Zero. The code is CC0.
Oh, the game itself is?
Yes.
Oh.
So they wanted some people doing CC0 music actually for this. Like, so they contacted me because they use CC0 music from my first album from Komiku. Mm-hmm. So they wanted me to do the soundtrack of their new game, and it was like a popular one. So I had like a lot of people reaching out, and it was really nice. Also, it was like a free game, so Nikki Casey paid me for it. But there is like no money coming from this. So yeah, just people coming and using the music. And actually the music from the video game mm-hmm. was used in a lot of video games also because it's CC0. Yeah, because okay. like people like the work of Nikki Casey, so they wanted to remix it, or they just wanted to use the music and because it was fun.
Yeah,
but like actually there is like a lot of video game using my music, and I'm really really happy about this. I really like to play video games.
Yeah. See, I only kind of do. I there was a time. Quite a while back, actually, I could tell you when it was, when Paper Mario came out. Okay. I was like 3/4 of the way through the game. My son played the game because they didn't want to start from the beginning, and they played my saved version. They messed everything up. I didn't know where I was, and I'm like, I'm not going to start this over again. And then that's the last time I played. It was just like, this is too much work now.
Oh, I love it. This is like your kid like grabbing your book, reading the next part, and you can't read the part they read.
Exactly.
It's funny.
Yeah. So I used to be heavy into it, but that was just like, oh, I really got to start over again. And then that's when I realized like, I could do other things. Not that it's bad. I mean, our stuff gets used in games all the time, and I love it. But but here's a question too. So you release under Creative Commons Zero. We release under Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike. Two very different things, same realm. But people always ask me this. And now that I have you in here, like, okay, so you said you were not working when you first started doing music and you were writing all this music. But then we also release music under Creative Commons. Getting paid. Like... how does that happen? People ask me that all the time. There is a way to do it. There are several ways to do it, but yes, it's very hard to comprehend. So how do you go about, like, you're getting your stuff used in these games? They use it because it's Creative Commons Zero, but you have money coming in from it. How does that happen? What are you doing?
Actually, I don't have a lot.
Okay. Well, I'm not saying it's a lot, but I'm just saying, every musician doesn't have a lot coming in.
Yes. And actually, no, I'm living with like unemployment money and and some commissions because like...
you are doing commissions.
Because it's free music, it's free. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want music commission for something, it's possible. And I do like a cheaper cost if I can release the music under Creative Commons Zero after I'm doing the commission. So mm-hmm. like people like with less money can have like original music for their project. But in the end, the music will be Creative Commons Zero. So they
so
are
it can
okay
be multi-purposed.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's
and
smart.
I'm pushing forward to this because I think this is the best way. I don't like copyright stuff. So yeah. I'd rather be like paid less and be on CC0 because like I don't mind having a day job and composing music. I don't mind like doing other stuff than music. I'm attached to music, but I'm attached to a lot of form of music and way to think about it and living it. So yeah, composing is one thing. And I like it to be like the freest way possible. So yeah, earning money is like by people downloading music on Bandcamp or playing on Spotify. And so I'm like actually like earning, I think, 200 euros with that by month. And it's actually like a lot. It's a lot
for
of
a musician.
Money.
That's not bad for just independently putting stuff online. Yeah.
Yeah. And just like having revenue with stuff you already done. It's really, really insane. It was like not the case like 2 years ago. It was like really not the case. Mm-hmm. And after that, there is like commission work, but like it's for mostly podcast, video games, and porn movies.
How are people asking you to make this stuff when you do commissions? Like, what specifically do they tell you, or how does that process work? Like, what's, I mean, people just go, make us a song. what do they do? And are, is there a lot of back and forth?
It depends on the purpose and how they can like speak about music. Mostly like in podcasts, they want specific music, like to talk over, or just like a jingle or both. And so the music has like a certain purpose. For movies, it will depend on the movies, but on the moment of the movies, on the type of movies also. Like, you don't like do the soundtrack of a movie, a classic movie or a porn movie. Mm-hmm. And it's different for video game too. Yeah, so actually I'm just asking what they want, the duration and the aesthetic, and if they have like examples of copyrighted music they like, so I can inspire. And I am asking also if they want like specific instruments or specific genre, and I'm really like honest with what I can do and I cannot do, and also I won't do. Like, I won't do jazz, I won't do classical music, I won't do reggae music or derivative, because it's not my culture, and also because other people are doing like way better than me, and so I'm redirecting them towards those people.
Yeah.
But yeah, and after that, like, if they want like harp, if they want like violin, I'm telling them like it will sound cheap, so cheap, because I pay nothing. I pay no VST.
Right.
I'm using free VST. I don't crack anything. I'm bad at it, so I'm just using free VSTs. And like, I'm really happy to have like Big Cat Audio, but it's so cheap.
Yeah. Do you alter the sounds at least? Do you find a sound and then just alter it through the MIDI sequencer itself, or do you just use them out of the box? You just use them as is. Like, how are you making your sounds?
I'm trying like to make it like way cheap. Why not cheaper, but like better? But I'm not like a good sound designer, or I'm not good at this.
Okay. No, I asked just because I normally use them. Like, I just search through all the pre-programmed sounds that are in whatever thing I'm using. Like, right now I'm using Yoshimi, and you know, I'll just use what's in the sound bank. But then I recently discovered that you can actually go in and like there's tons of stuff you can do to the original sound. But then I'm like, well, I'm going to spend a good half hour, 60 minutes trying to find a sound that I can manipulate.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm at that impasse where it's like, do I just keep using the regular sounds and see if I can EQ it, or try and manipulate them to what I want? I don't know. So I was curious what you did.
I was like into this kind of consideration like for like 3 years ago, when I was like learning how to use MIDI and synths. And now I'm just stuck on one. I use synth one. And I'm really in love with this. And so I mostly to do like electronic music, I mostly use this one, because I know how it works after like tweaking everything and experiencing like daily. You can like have like your habits and also your own banks, and also the sounds you really like.
Yeah.
But that's why like I'm not accepting everything people ask me to do, because like I don't like it would like, if they want like cheap violin, I can do that. If they want realist violin, they won't have this. But if they want like a
wacky soundtrack, this is what you're going to get if you want violin, is basically what you're saying.
Yes. But actually, like, it can be an aesthetic. And I'm really into this kind of aesthetic too, like really cheap stuff, like cheap saxophone and stuff.
There's a benefit to that. There's a definite sort of feel to that, what that is like. It has its own sort of place.
It can exist.
How are you finding these people, or how are they finding you?
Actually, I don't know. I don't know how they found me. Because like
you're not actively out there trying to look for them.
No, but actually I'm trying to like do a lot of stuff.
Okay.
So I'm on social media a lot, but I'm mostly in the French speaking community.
Yeah.
So like in video games and stuff. But I'm trying to do a bit of everything. Mostly like these days I'm doing like live music a lot.
Oh, you are?
But like with like bumper car music, actually.
Right. Okay.
I'm doing like noise live music also with like feedback loop guitar and effect pedals.
By yourself or do you have accompaniment?
By myself and okay. Sometimes with accompaniment. Like I'm trying to do some techno with noise. Actually, like some friends of mine like playing techno and me, I'm on the guitar.
Oh,
playing noise music over this, and it's really nice actually.
Yeah.
It's like you are moving your body but also piercing your ears, and this is really fun. I love this kind of feelings. And after that, like what I wanted to say, it's a way for me like to find people in this way, but also I'm doing like game design. I'm creating like little games, but also I'm creating games to create music.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was telling you, like board game, card game. And I'm actually more into like porn music composition, but like mm-hmm. queer and alt porn. And I think like this is like a place like you can like find also like people wanting free music. So I'm like creating music for like directors and composing like music for this this field, and I'm finding it like really interesting to do actually. So like I'm reaching for people, but also people are reaching to me because like on Free Music Archives there is actually like a lot of traffic. And still a lot of traffic, even though the website is not really friendly.
it's got the click gate on the front like, do you want to go here? Do you want to go here? Yeah. Which also Jamendo does that too.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to see the free music or do you want to go to the licensing music?
I like Tribe of Noise, but. Oh, come on.
No, I know. I wish it would just go to the site and have the Tribe of Noise thing at top. I agree. It would.
Yes.
Yeah. I think Tribe of Noise does a good thing. I think they have more musicians than composers, which was the thing that I prefer. I understand people are looking specifically for music for projects and PowerPoint presentations and stuff like that. But come on, there are musicians out here just making music that are going, we want to release our stuff too.
I actually
one more thing I want to ask before we go. I noticed, and by the time this comes out it'll already be out, but you have a release on Bandcamp right now that is actually coming out next month. And you releasing a song on that album once a week?
No.
Okay, because there's some where it's like it's playable, and then other ones they're like darked out.
Oh yeah, no, this is a pre-order. Like, it will be out like on.
So it's a pre-order. I've never done a pre-order on Bandcamp, so I didn't know what that was like. I thought you were just like listing all the songs and then slowly uploading one of them, and then it would be a full album.
I'm taking my time.
Yeah.
No. Actually, like you can like cross it like a case, but is this a pre-order, and you can like select the song you want to put in the pre-order.
Gotcha. So,
and after that, like it will like be released like for like February 23.
Okay.
So at that date, it will like be complete. And this is bumper car music, actually.
Okay, that is the, okay. I was wondering because I was listening to that going, this is different. Okay, so that's what the bumper car music is. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, and then so before we go, are there any other upcoming things or things you'd like to mention that you want to tell people about?
I don't know. Maybe I will finally finish this stuff I was doing with like Creative Commons music and Content ID stuff. I would love yes. to write an article about this because, like, I think I reached out to you.
You did.
Because of this.
That was how we first met because you were going yes. through the same thing we were. We release our music free, and some company was like, wait, they're releasing this music free. Well, then we can just take it and put it on paid services.
Yes, let's go.
And
let's
it was like, no, you everything. Can't. But how do we get a hold of anyone to tell them, no, you can't? And that was what you reached out to me for, because we did literally go through the same thing. And yeah. I said, you really can't. It's very hard. And I was like, the only thing we can do is we actually release it through a distributor so I can go, hey, this is ours. And then you can yeah. tell the distributor to go off after them, which is the opposite of releasing independently. I mean, it's still yes. releasing independently, but, you know, it's yes, the option it's... we have right now that doesn't take tons of emails and a year of, because we had a company in Korea that was going and doing takedowns for our music, claiming it was theirs. And then finally, mm-hmm. I just started claiming it on YouTube. Because you used yeah. to just be able to claim the music yourself on YouTube if you had the content ID. So
yeah.
Yeah. No, and you ran into the same thing, I'm assuming.
Yeah, actually, yeah. So I asked like to a lot of people because I wanted to write about this. Because like how can we defend like free music? Mm-hmm. This is like, I think something that will be like really hard in the next year if we don't like create a community and federate ourselves. But also like we have like all those spaces like Free Music Archive, like it was a good space at some point to like make some calls like to participate or like to defend free music. But yeah. like actually it's really difficult to create those calls. To ask for people like to do surveys to like evaluate how free music composer can like defend themselves towards this problem. There is like no lobby of public domain. This is like something I find ridiculous and really, really sad. Mm-hmm. Actually, like, and not just for free music, it's like for art in general and like human activities in general. And I feel this is like such a bummer. Like, okay, we have archive.org, this is nice, but mm-hmm. also we need like to help each other, and that's why I'm really happy like we are like creating a community together. But free musician and free music composer are really like spread, and I hope one day we will like be together and like doing something together, like to fight back against capitalist culture. Yeah. I mean, this is like such a problem, actually.
I know. And I know that Creative Commons, like the Creative Commons site and not company, I can't think of the right word, but you know, the creativecommons.org itself, they explain a lot of what they can do. They explain about how they've been trying to help in different ways. But I wish I could just contact them like, hey, that thing that you do that we're using, this person's going against it. Go after them. Like, I wish it were that easy, but I know it's not.
Actually, it's not.
It would be nice if they also did the, I guess, lawyerish work.
Yes.
You'd be able to contact them and go get them. They're doing the thing wrong. Or they could even turn to us and go, no, that is what they can do with it. Or, you know, just be more of a, like, if you would contact a lawyer. I hate using that as a reference, but you know, that's what it is. It's a legal document that was created by a lawyer who practices that type of law, Lawrence Lessing. So anyway, yes, I agree with you. And did you ever get it solved, or is it one of those things just like it finally just stopped happening?
No, at least it it happens like regularly, and yeah. I contact like distribution service, like to tell them like it's not possible, you can't do this, and you have like to delete the account, like using Content ID over this type of music, because yeah. it's like in the rule of Content ID, you can't use Content ID on Creative Commons stuff. It's right. impossible because these are like non-exclusive licenses. So you can't have the exclusivity of the use via Content ID. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like regularly, but I have to do my own researches to see if my music is claimed somewhere. And sometimes I like have feedbacks from people telling me like, okay, your music is not free. What the fuck is this happening? No, right. this is free, but this is capitalism, dude.
I know, it's difficult. And yeah. like you said, the only way to actually track it without having the man hours or the people to do it is to go through the distributor, even though that's not the way that it yeah. should be done, but that's how it can be tracked. And also through the distributor, if somebody does go, hey, I thought I could use this, you go, yeah, give me mm-hmm. one sec. You contact the distributor and go, hey, yeah. let them use this. And they go, okay.
Yeah, but
you clear, but that's also a pain. But
oh yeah,
but it's it like at least you're in control of it. Yeah, but at least yeah. you're in control of it rather than some company that you can't get a hold of going, no, this is our music.
Yeah, that's, actually it happened a lot, like having like no contact to find, and you have like to at some point I had to contact someone on LinkedIn because like their company was fake. Right. And it was like really weird, and they had like the opportunity to activate Content ID, and I, because the company didn't add like any website I can mm-hmm. contact, it was like a really weird distribution service. So like you have like to do some stuff, it's weird. And yeah at some point there was like someone like using Content ID over the music I managed to contact on Facebook, and I was like, what the fuck is happening, dude? What are you doing? What are you like stealing music from?
I hope you worded it better than that.
And yeah. yeah. And actually, he answered me. Yeah, he answered me. He told me, like, but someone sold me that music and told me I was able to use it because someone like.
Oh, so they got it from somebody
Fiverr.
Else.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because there is like free music traffic on Fiverr. Like, this is so fucked up.
That's the problem. When people just hear, like, oh, there are tons of videos on YouTube where they're like, here's a way to make tons of money making videos on YouTube. And they go, you just put a picture and then you go to Free Music Archive and all this music is free. And it's like, yeah, to a point. It's not yours.
Yeah. yeah. And there is like this really weird capitalist like licensing in the US called PLR, private label rights. And so like they sell stuff with this license to other people, and those other people can also sell this stuff, but in rebranding it and sell it to someone else, like with the PLR license also. And this is like a chaotic libertarian mess. And this is like not right at all. And they are like selling free music with this license. So people are like, okay, I can like use this music and put it on distribution service and use Content ID and get the money off it. And there are like a lot of people doing that. And this is really, really intense shit. Yeah. So yeah, and it won't stop until we crush capitalism.
Well, on that note, I want to thank you very much for joining me today. Where should people go to check out more of your music?
You can go on loyaltyfreakmusic.com. It's like my main website. You can find the links to the Bandcamp there, and also the link of my itch. It's where I put like all the games I do. And also the musical games I do are on this. So if you want like to print your own card of Music Bravo to create like experimental music with friends and have like really cringe moments, but with friends, you can like go there. It's like rosazerti.itch.io with 5 R.
Yes.
Five. And so it's my Bandcamp is Chez Mon Plaisir, Chez Mon Plaisir. so it's like Mon Plaisir Home. It's not a name. Chez, it's not Chez. Please, it's not Chez. My name is not Chez. It's Rose. It's a French word. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. It was great to finally meet you.
Thank you, Tom.